Well, good morning and welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-County. This morning, I am very, very happy to have with me a man that I've probably known my whole life. And, I mean, I've been around for a while, but this guy's been around much longer, and he's still going. And I just have my hat off to him, how active he is. At age 94, born March 8th, 1930. Welcome, Barry Ritter.
Hi, Chris.
How you doing?
Doing great.
Good. You know, the thing that always, you know, I love about you, Barry, is you just keep going. You know, you never stop. I go, you know, other people, you know, your age, well, most people don't make it to your age, but I mean, you just are amazing.
Like the bunny.
Barry, just a little bit about your history. Were you born here in Jersey County or where?
No, I was born in Hardin, Illinois.
Hardin, Illinois.
But my parents lived in Campsville.
Okay. And
why I was born in Hardin, I'll never know.
You don't? So they lived in Campsville and you're born in Hardin.
Right.
Okay. Where were you born at in Hardin? Why were you born in Hardin?
Just a little bit south of the bridge.
Yeah?
Right where the old French cemetery is. Right as you come off the bridge, there's a French cemetery, and my grandpa and grandmother had a house right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so you...
It was called the Tavener Lane, I believe.
Oh, yeah? Tavener Lane. So, born there, and then lived most of your life, or your early life in Hardin?
We come to Jerseyville in 1935.
1935.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what did your parents do for a living?
Well, when we came to Jerseyville, my dad went to work as a mechanic for Charlie Sieberman as a mechanic.
Yeah.
Okay. Right across from the Ford garage.
I see. Now you had brothers and sisters?
Right. I had two brothers and one sister.
Okay.
Bob, Mike, and Margie.
Oh, yep. And are they still living?
Mike and Bob have passed away, but Margie is still
alive. Margie's?
I was just down visiting here.
Oh, yeah?
Down in Tennessee.
How old's Margie?
Margie's about, she's in her 70s.
Okay. She's a little bit younger than you are.
Yeah, yeah. She's 16 years younger than I am.
Okay. Now, of course, you were in the auto business, selling cars.
65 years.
65 years. Yeah. In fact, I bought...
a lot of.
I remember my first real car that I bought. Yeah. All right. And my dad, we went, of course, you and my dad were friends.
Yeah.
And we went for the whole day, we went car shopping for me. I was 16.
Yeah.
And we went all over car. We was looking at cars. We went all over the place looking for vehicles. And the last stop we made was at Jersey County Motors when it was down in town, State Street. And I think it was a setup. Actually, I think it was a setup.
Yeah, I sold George last
time. Yeah, he had me set up.
He was guiding you around.
Yeah, he was taking me around. And finally, I walked in and you guys talked a little bit. And I was out there and was like, man, I just didn't see anything I liked. And we walked back into the mechanics room or the big room where they were washing cars and stuff. And they were washing up a 1968 Camaro. Do you remember that car?
Yeah, I think so.
It was purple, you know, or like a purple color, two white stripes, raised hood, jacked up, big tires on the back.
Just,
I mean, it was
just
perfect.
A thing for a 16-year-old kid.
Oh, if I had that car today, I mean, I love that car. Oh. Of course, it only got 4 miles to the gallon, a lot of times I had to push it.
But that was cheap then, though.
Yeah, gas was cheap. Yeah, it didn't bother me. But so you were in the car business for 65 years. Tell me, what has changed in the car business or in business in general?
Chris, there's so many changes. My son is still in the car business, and he tells me things that I just can't hardly believe.
Like what?
Oh, the price of an automobile is astronomical.
Yeah.
But
everything's
repairs and stuff like that. It just.
Yeah, but just, everything's went up though, Barry.
Yeah,
right.
But not like this. It's hard to imagine.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot more bells and whistles.
Oh yeah. You know, oh yeah.
For sure.
Can I tell a story?
I'd love for you to tell a story.
I can tell a story. Spence Pro and I were in the alley of my dealership uptown when they unloaded the first $3,000 car. And Spence punched me in the side and he says, "My God, Barry, were we going to sell a $3,000 car?" I says, "I don't know."
But how long did it take to sell it?
Not very long.
No.
First one with air conditioning.
Oh, shoot. Air conditioning. Now, did it have a shifter on it, or is it automatic?
No. It was a sedan.
Yeah.
I mean, family car.
Automatic?
Automatic, yeah.
Okay. When you were in the car business back then, how many new cars did you get, you know, like? How was it as far as now? It seems like it's hard to get new cars. You know, it's the dealers have a hard time.
No. The factories loaded us up then. I mean, you had to beat them off.
Oh, yeah, they were wanting to give you.
Yeah.
Now, you were, I want to drop back just a minute. So, how did you end up getting in the car business?
Well, it's really a long story. I got out of high school, and I went out to Wyoming, worked on a railroad for about 6 to 8 months, and it got too cold for me.
Yeah.
My Uncle Harry got me a job in what they call a cut out there.
Yeah.
And one morning the wind was blowing about 60 miles an hour, and it was about 10 below zero, and I knocked on the shack, and I says, "Uncle Harry, get me a take it back to Denver. I'm going back to Jerseyville." So I went to work for my dad as in the parts. Then I started selling farm machinery.
Your dad was working at?
At that time, my dad and Ray Bierman had partnershiped in a dealership.
Oh, okay.
And I went to work for them. And I sold machinery for about 3 or 4 years, which was one of the best times of my life. I loved it.
Yeah.
And then got to selling cars. We got rid of the machinery business and got into the car business 100%. And then when my father was killed in an accident, Bob and I took over the dealership.
How was your father killed?
He was killed in a car accident in 1956.
Okay.
Right in front of Harry Smith's place.
I'll be darned. Okay. And so you and Bob took over the car business.
Right. And that was in 1956.
I see. And I know you married Virginia.
Virginia Rose.
Yep. What year did you get married?
1950.
Okay. 1950.
We were married 65 years.
Wow. Okay. And had some children.
Yeah.
How many children did
you have? We had nine.
Nine kids? Yeah. Wow.
Six girls and three boys.
I'll be darned. That's
they were great.
Yep. And they kept you going. Nine. That's a heck of a household.
It was a lot of fun, and I don't know whether it could be done today or not.
I don't know if it could either. But now, you're 94.
Right.
You're active.
Very active.
You're driving wherever you want to go.
The boys still let me ride the tractor on the farm.
You still drive the tractor?
Yeah.
And what is a typical day for you?
I get up around 5:30, 6 o'clock. I have a exercise program that I, for 30, 45 minutes, good breakfast. Then find something to do.
Yeah. So what's your exercise program like?
I do 30 minutes on the treadmill.
Okay.
And then 15, 20 minutes on the weights.
Okay.
And about 10 minutes on exercises.
Every day?
Every day.
I'll be darned.
Every day.
Do you think that's a key ingredient?
It gets you going.
Yeah.
Gets you going.
And then you're looking for something to do. Get a good breakfast. Yeah. Okay.
You know, the Germans have a saying, Arbeit macht frei, work makes you free.
Yes, yes, work makes you free. Yeah. So you get up, do some exercises, have some breakfast, and then you start looking for something to do. Like, what are you looking for?
I generally got the day planned out.
Oh, yeah?
Like, I generally have it planned out.
Give me a typical day.
Three or four days a week, I go to the farm, either mow or tidy up or see what has to be done down there.
Mm-hmm. But by yourself?
By myself, okay. Yeah. Yeah. And work around the house.
Mm-hmm. Do you have got any animals you take care of down there?
I got only Charlie and my dog.
Okay. And then I know I've seen you. We've talked many times. You'd stop into George's. We'd always chat. You'd come in there.
I have a cocktail every evening.
Cocktail every
evening. Yeah. Maybe two.
Now, was it back in the 70s that you and some other friends of yours opened up the 518?
That's right.
Yes. Now, how about the 518? Did you enjoy the 518?
I loved to press the flesh.
You loved what?
To press the flesh.
Okay.
You know what that is?
No, explain it to me.
Shaking hands with everybody coming in.
Ah, yeah.
No,
Press the flesh. Okay.
Of course, I had to work every day during the day, but I enjoyed the weekends, and we had a good run there.
You did have a good run.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the place to go.
And we had a beautiful place.
You did. It was a great place. Actually, I was involved in...
You're building it.
Well, renovating. Your dad, yeah, I mean, your dad. My dad was, but I, as a young kid, I was home in the summertime, in college.
You were a runner.
Yeah, I was a runner, running around.
No.
Yeah.
Your dad done all the work there.
Yes.
Done a fine job.
Yes. What do you think attributed, that place was very successful.
Big pardon?
518 was very successful for a long run.
Well, why it was successful is... We had good service, good food, and a wonderful atmosphere. You can get by with two, but you can't get by with one.
Yes. And you even mentored me a little bit at the beginning whenever I opened up George's, right? I don't know if you remember this or not, but you wouldn't hesitate to let me know, like, hey, Chris, come here. Let me tell you something. I go, what? You go... You're putting way too much salad on those salad plates. You need to cut down on that. They'll just be throwing that salad out. You need to downsize that a little bit.
We had great managing. Mary Ann Hoosman and Virginia Rose, they were there 24/7.
Oh, yeah.
And good you have to have good management. I didn't mention good management, but that's a plus.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody was involved and everybody contributed when we was there.
Yes.
And I think everybody in town enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think they really enjoyed 518.
It was an upscale place.
Very, yeah. We had as nice a place as you'd find in St. Louis.
Yes, it was. Right. And the secret, you retired when you were 87.
Yeah, 87
years old, you finally retired.
Everybody kept saying, well, why don't you retire? Why don't you retire? And I said, well... I'll know when I want to retire. You know, I thought about it on a Thursday and retired on a Friday.
what do you think the secret to a long, happy life is? What would you say?
Well, you know, a lot of people ask me that, and I have a joke that I always tell them.
Okay.
Which isn't, but I'll tell you. Fast cars... Good whiskey and gentlewomen.
Oh, that sounds like a country western song.
But the real thing is to take every day like a day, do what you can, and what you can't do, walk around.
Okay. All right.
And that's what I've done all my life.
Walk around. Do what you can. If you can't, what do you mean you walk around? What do you mean by that?
Forget it and walk around.
Okay.
just
and do it the next day, or try to put it on your list.
Don't do it if you can't do it.
Don't do it if you can't.
Don't try to do it if you can't do it.
And that's the secret.
Know your limitations.
Know your limitations.
Right.
All right. I know in your life, in your long life, you've had a lot of happiness, a lot of good things happen. I'm sure there's a lot of boring things that you didn't want to do, but
yeah.
And you've had some hardships, yeah, like
sure
everybody has. I'm going to ask you, how do you handle the good times, and how do you handle the hardships? First, the good times. Tell me.
I think the good times, you enjoy them and enjoy them to the fullest. And the bad times, you just tuck them in your heart and say, well, that's just the way it is.
Yes.
And go on.
And continue.
And continue, yes.
Barry, I know family is a big part of your life, you know.
Big part.
Big part, yes.
Let me say, I've got the greatest family there is in the world. And that's one reason I'm here.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your family. I mean, I know you're proud of all of them, but just...
Don't put me on the mark. No.
I mean, they all do. Some of them live around here. Some of them live afar.
They all live around here, except the two girls. Julie and Mary live out in California. The rest of them all live around here close. And they're just all great.
Yes. All hard workers.
All hard work.
Yeah.
All hard workers.
Are they a lot like you? Do they enjoy life? And
Their mother is... Put that in. Yeah. She put them on the right track.
Well, speaking of Virginia... Okay. Where did you guys meet?
We met out at Bill Tracy's on the ice pond, skating.
Really? Yeah. Okay, what was your moves? How did you
I run into it, hurt my ankle.
Then what happened? Then you asked for help. She helped you.
I need help.
Yeah. And then
that's where we met, out at Bill Tracy's on playing hockey.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
And so what was your first date like? Where'd you take her? You remember?
I'm not sure. There wasn't too many places around here. Probably went to Bush's Farm.
Okay. The bowling alley?
Bowling alley, Bush's Farm, yeah.
Yeah.
He was out there dancing every night.
Okay. That sounds good. And Virginia, mother of nine. My gosh. From oldest to youngest, what was that time span? Would you have 20 some years in there?
Guys, I don't know.
Yeah.
We just kept having.
You were a good Catholic.
Yeah, I was. I still am.
Yes, yeah. And really lived by the Catholic Church for a long, long time.
A long time.
You still do?
Yeah.
Well, Barry, do you have anything you'd like to add to wrap up this? Interview?
Well, only that your dad was one of my greatest friends.
Well,
and I could tell you stories about him and I that would curl your hair.
Oh, boy, I don't know about that. Yeah, well, I wouldn't mind hearing a few of them. But...
I'd like to tell one.
Okay, go ahead.
It always sticks in my memory.
Okay.
George and I liked to duck hunt, and we wanted to duck hunt one day, and we made reservations over at a club over in Calhoun.
Okay.
And, of course, you had to pay, you know. So one morning we went over there, and the guy took us out to the blind, the boat, about 6 o'clock, out to the blind. It was cold. I mean, it was really cold.
Yeah.
We got in the blind, you know, and we got everything set around. I looked around. I said, George, we don't have a boat. I said, how are we going to get a duck if we knock one down, you know? He says, I don't know, he says. The water was too deep for our boots, you know?
Yeah.
And that guy left us out there until 4 o'clock that day.
Oh, man.
And we like froze to death.
Oh, shoot.
So he got us to the boat and took us back to the shore. He got up to the shore, and George says, Well, I think told this guy, you ought to give us our money back. He says, you like to froze us to death. We didn't have a boat. Our ducks got away from us, you know?
Yeah.
They got in a terrible argument.
Oh, boy.
Your dad and he.
Yeah.
And George turned around with his shotgun and shot a hole in his boat.
Oh, no.
And George says, well, I got two more if you want to argue about that. And I said, George, let's get the hell out of here.
Oh, my goodness.
But that's not the end of the story.
Oh, no. What happened then?
About a month later, I was sitting in a tavern in Calhoun. And a guy down at the end of the bar, he says, you know, somebody shot a hole in so-and-so's boat. Well, they were duck hunting. Boy, I sat there like a mouse.
Yeah.
And I'll always remember that story. I'll always remember. But that was George just turned around with that old 97 shotgun he had and shot a hole in his boat.
Ooh, well, I never heard that story before, Barry. Well, Dad never told me that one.
It's a true story. It was fun. He and I had some times.
Yeah.
They used to call us Mutt and Jeff, you know.
Oh, yeah.
George was about 6'5", I was about 5'5".
So you guys went to high school together?
Yes, they did.
Yeah. I thought.
Graduated together.
Where'd you guys meet at?
Well, George and lived in town here, mm-hmm. and in school we just was together all the time.
I'll be darned.
We was together every weekend. A group of us would always get together and cook up a big pot of stew or something like that and have a few beers.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know we spent a lot of time together on the river.
Yeah,
in boats. We had a lot of fun on the river at the cabin over in Hardin.
And I can always remember your mother saying, oh, George, oh, George.
Yes, she still says that.
She still says that.
Yeah, she's 93. She's a little bit behind you. Right? Yeah. Yep. Well, Barry, thanks so much for coming in today.
It's a pleasure, Chris.
Enjoyed you.
I hope I got a few more texts left in me.
Oh, you do. I think you got a
lot. I think so.
I think so. For sure.
Can I say one thing? I'd like to thank everybody in Jerseyville of all the successes that the Ritter family has had during the years. It's been great.
Yes. Well, they're glad to have you. That's for sure.
I'm glad to be here.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.